Does anybody make use of the Salem or Peters system before we begin the tips net? If so, please make your call now, and I'll begin the net in about a minute, maybe a little less. Okay, 6PDJ.
Thank you. Here is.
Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck, in Groton. No questions yet. Good evening.
Here is. Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, Tim, City of Groton. No questions at the moment.
Here is. AD7AN, Alpha Delta 7, Alpha November, Tim in Galesbury.
About 11 to 1 transformer, and I'm
I'm looking at the waveform, and I'm seeing that there's some, there's a lot of offline switching power supplies and a good deal of rectified load on the power system tonight, which I think is just where a lot of our noise is coming from. Back to net, W1FJW.
There, Chuck's always good for a very interesting comment or two. Monitoring his power lines with an oscilloscope. And, next time we get around to see you, Chuck, you might let us know. Are you just monitoring the power line coming into your house? Or are you monitoring the neighborhood? Ooh. And then we go. Our third station on the check-in list is KC1TWR. Tim, KA6PDG in the tips net. What's going on this evening, sir?
K6BDG, this is KC1TWR. The weather actually appeared to be a little bit windier earlier today, so I think we're kind of in a calm before the bigger storm. And earlier today it wasn't really raining. Now it's actually raining outside somewhat. But all predictions indicate, as Bob said, that come 11 o'clock or thereabouts, it'll get really nasty out there. So hopefully those people who are working second shift or what have you will be able to sneak home before it really hits, hopefully. And I'm actually transmitting from home today. I decided to forego going down to the Eastern Point Beach because it seems like I'm able to hit the repeater at least somewhat well today. So we'll see what Kevin thinks, and he'll give me a signal report. This is KC1TWR back to net control.
Let me not write Steve's script for him. Let me go instead to Dave. And what is it, at Voluntown, Preston, I guess. K1 Delta Charlie Tango. Dave, it's round one on the tips net. How you doing, man?
Hi, well, good evening. This is K1 DCT. Good evening to all those on the net, especially on net control, who earlier today on the repeater I heard say Rome wasn't built in a day, which is very true. But it did burn down in one night, so it's something else to think about. And let's see, Chuck monitoring the power line. I'm curious, though, is he looking at the voltage wave or the current wave, the actual load in his shack where he's seeing all these switching power supplies? Because if he's seeing that on the voltage wave, he's probably a little overloaded. Not much else going on here. Weather is, a little light rain. I just looked at the weather forecast on the interweb here, and what they're saying now does not sound as bad as what they said a few days ago, or even earlier today. So, might not be Armageddon, but, we got the batteries charged and gasoline and ammunition, all the things that you need to have. Back to that, K1 DCT.
Well, see, this inevitably happens with the big storms. They hype them and hype them on the media and on the news. And then once all the grocery stores have sold out of bread and milk, they go ahead and tell us the truth. Probably not a very accurate thing for him to say, seeing as how we like to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. But yep, it is interesting. And I probably am going to I'm going to put FJW on the spot in a few minutes here, and he can talk a little bit more. At least I hope he'll be willing about what he's doing and maybe answer some of those questions, Dave. But first, let's go to NK1V. Steve up in Coventry, Connecticut, and how are you, Steve? Anything new ham radio-wise? Anything come to mind you'd like to bash around here tonight? Go ahead, Steve.
NK1V. Let's start the weather. It's raining here, nothing too bad yet. Picked up a little bit. I don't think we're going to get too much. I am prepared. I have snacks. So we're in good shape. What else do I have? Oh yeah, it's kind of cool. Truck monitoring the line and stuff. I actually don't have I do have some experience. We've had at my employer, we've had serious over the past couple of years, multi-million-dollar issues with the power lines coming in and everything. So between the engineers and the lawyers and the utilities and I think some pretty cool monitoring devices, and which is even cooler with three-phase style power, where it may have these fancy graphs in a circle showing the how the phases are actually interacting and stuff. Cool stuff. And very interesting to see what happens during different things and what kind of how what's going on just the incoming power can affect lots of other things and create crazy signals and blows things up and so on. Let me reset. And also on Tim's comment about the soda summits on the air. That I believe is a little bit older than parks on the air. Only issue with that, there's only a limited amount of people who can actually do activations on soda, due to health conditions or locations. It's very something I am working on. I've done quite a handful of activations on parks on the air. I have my backpack all set and have pretty good ideas for antennas, and still trying to lean down the battery situation a little bit, but at some point just hiking, and maybe even this winter, because I prefer the winter than the summertime doing that. So yeah, good view. If you have any questions, Tim, if you're new to that, similar program, so all the vlogging and all that kind of stuff like that, feel free to give me a shout, and I love it. It's the best thing I've done. on ham radio. You know, it really got me fired up, and I just wish I had more time. Back to Matt and K1B.
All right, thanks, Steve. Really appreciate it. Good thoughts all the way through. You get a star next to that transmission. And I did think of one that I don't think is done, probably with good reason. But I thought of skyscrapers on the air. Skakota. Whatever. There might be some logistical issues with doing that on HF. You might have to do it on VHF or UHF or maybe on cell phone. Okay, so we'll put that one back in the bin for later consideration, or maybe Radio Cat Phoebe wants to play with it for a while. Let's see, nothing too exciting here. We've had a few challenges, as some of you know, here in the shack, but we're getting through those. I haven't had any more problems with the universal QS wire since I moved it over to the left-hand side of the desk. But I also haven't been operating above 3960 kilohertz or on the 75 meter band anyway. So still remains to be seen, but the antenna is doing well. And the HF bands were a little bit better today. I did not do a lot of operating, but got on 4020 and, you know, I don't think I've talked to anybody on 75 today. But listened, and the bands seem to be in better shape, knock on wood. So that's probably, I like Chuck's activity that he's doing there. I'm going to look for some more check-ins, and then I'm going to go to FJW, if he doesn't mind too much, and see if he wants to respond to some of the thoughts and questions that have come up on his power line monitoring. But first, this is the TipsNet, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. All hams are welcome. Please join us if you're at all inclined. We're looking for additional check-ins. This is KA6PDG Net Control. A veritable plethora of silence. All right, Chuck, I know I don't have your permission, but I'm going to shoot it back to you anyway and see if you want to add some more to your interesting little project. And I wonder, what did anything specific spur this on? Maybe a problem or something, or just sort of good old-fashioned, I'm a ham operator and I'm curious about really crazy stuff. W1FJW, take it for a minute or two. Chuck, this is KA6PDG.
Well, we've had no problems so far. I'm just an amateur radio operator and curious about crazy stuff. You know, they often talk about DC to light, and I say, why stop there? Why not go through DC, and why not go up past light? So I have a Geiger counter that counts the radiation and some other monitors here that are weird. But no, I was just looking at the voltage waveform out of idle curiosity and thinking that in a storm it might degrade, and if I don't know what normal is, how do I know what degrade it is? And just checking out the transformer to see if it would accurately or plausibly reflect a waveform, and I think it's doing a pretty good job. It is the voltage waveform of one side of the line coming into the house, not the current waveform. I need a clamp-on ammeter with the windings, a voltage represented analogous to the winding current brought out, which I've built. But usually the current is not very interesting. The other thing I'll monitor is the magnetic activity in the neighborhood. I have a coil with a core, a laminated steel core, which is really the active ingredient of a shaded pole induction motor. But this piece of, multi, probably thousands of turns of wire around a laminated steel core picks up the stray magnetic fields, and I get mostly harmonics of 60 hertz, as you would expect. And the ninth harmonic appears to be the strongest. As you go up in harmonics, they propagate better. The second harmonic is, well, if the third harmonic would be two-thirds the second, and the fourth harmonic would be half the second, and so forth. It's 1/n for the harmonics, so the harmonics generated go down as you go up in frequency, and yet they propagate better, pretty much in proportion to the frequencies you go up in. The ninth seems to predominate. So by monitoring the harmonics on the air and the waveform, I get a pretty good idea of what the neighborhood's drawing for power. Back to net, W1FJW.
Well, really, really good stuff, and stand by just a sec, Matt. I was going to say, push that button right there. I was going to say, I'm glad the net's being recorded because I can barely keep up with all that good information. And I realized, I think I need, when I'm running the net, I need somebody to come on a couple of minutes before the net and remind me that I have to record it. Seems like when I'm net control, I'm concentrating on that. And so, anyway, I just started the recorder. Well, I missed all that good stuff. Oh, well. I guess nobody's perfect. Really good stuff there, Chuck. And it also brings to mind the fact that there's all sorts of things one can monitor. You talked about electrical current and things related to that, and magnetism, which that and electricity, of course, are twins, or brothers and sisters anyway. But one can monitor sound, one can monitor low frequency infrared. So DC to light, that's an interesting topic. Monitoring DC to light. Some folks who have maybe been involved in law enforcement or in commercial fishing or search and rescue or any number of things that may have had some experience with monitoring different frequencies, DC to light. Let's see, what else can we monitor? We can monitor ultraviolet stuff, we can monitor all sorts of cool stuff. So I wonder, Bob, if they monitor anything really weird on the farms these days. Any interesting frequencies or, I don't know, DC to light on the farm. That would be my question for Bob. So why don't we start round two? We also touched on Summits on the Air, which is a very interesting topic. And I may have another topic to think about here in a few minutes, but let's go into round two and call on Bob, and in a few minutes we'll have another call for check-ins. This is the TIPSNet, K1RMN, K6PDG. Have we inspired any thoughts?
K6PDG, this is K1RMN. Well, I'm thinking about things on the farm that we monitor, and nope. We're too small a farm, and we only have a few animals, so not a big organization that does ear tag monitoring and feed control and all that kind of stuff. I did have a question for Chuck, though. I saw the email about the antenna for the Norwich repeater and the little note on the bottom that said it needed a couple of capacitors. And my question for Chuck was, are those internal to the antenna itself, or those were external that were needed to get it to tune? Just very curious, because I had never opened it myself. This is K1RMN, back to net.
Well, less than that control forget, let's go right to Chuck for an answer to that question if you can, FJW.
The capacitors are internal to the antenna. The antenna has a, despite being a long collinear array, has a bit of a loading coil at the base and there's two capacitors and I'm not exactly sure how they're wired. I haven't taken a ohmmeter and traced it out, but a couple things is I was surprised because the thing was working a couple weeks ago, but it went through a lot of traveling. But the capacitors appear to be tightly soldered in place, but it was the opinion of the crew assembled at the repeater that these capacitors are a popular item because they're popular item to fail because they're fairly highly stressed. Tim took a picture of them and we'll try to decode the hieroglyphics, get some replacements. A little more rugged if we could figure out a way to fit them in there and restore proper operation. At least that's the plan. Back to net, W1FJW.
Alright, thank you, Bob. Any follow-up? Does that answer your question?
It's K1RMN. Yes, it does. I would imagine that this problem is only with the UHF side of the antenna. The VHF, I think, would be a slightly different circuit. If I'm not correct, let me know, Chuck.
I'm ignorant of the exact circuitry involved, so I can't help you there. W1FJW clear.
Alrighty, and if my understanding is correct, the UHF antenna situation is a bit problematic, so I gather the UHF repeater, the 449.725, is off the air, at least temporarily. But what they were able to accomplish was on the VHF side. And unless Chuck corrects me, I'm going to assume that that's correct, or perhaps Tim knows. All right, Tip's not here. We're talking about all sorts of stuff, and that's what we're about. DC light, repeaters, things that are on the air, like summits and parks, and museums, and whatever. So, let's carry on, KC1CWR. You've been monitoring anything good down there in Groton, Tim, or any other comments?
KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR. Let's see if I can remember everything I wanted to say. Number one, that is correct. The UHF repeater currently is turned off until we get another UHF antenna back up on top of the water tank. As far as the pictures I took about on the capacitors, I reviewed them today, and one of them came out sort of okay, and the other one came out very blurry. So I'm going to have to get back up to the shack and pull them apart and take a better picture of the capacitors so we can get better numbers on them. Let's see. As far as monitoring goes, I've been monitoring this frequency for a bit of the day, as well as the 7-3 repeater, as well as the 9-7 Waterford repeater, because some work has been done on there, and some of the interference has been cleared up, and that repeater is actually sounding pretty good, and its footprint seems to have regained some of the footprint it's had from previous days, so that's good. Let me reset real quick. As far as all the things that Chuck was talking about, Kevin. I have a habit. I have a small recorder. It's not a line recording, but I am recording, so I can send that to you so you can splice in what you missed at the beginning, and we can talk about arranging for other people to record when you're net controlled, because that's a lot to throw on one person for in one evening. And back to Chuck. And I was curious, with monitoring the voltage with the oscilloscope and so forth, is that done in such a fashion that you don't worry about lightning strikes hitting it, if you're using that to monitor the voltages during storms? We're not anticipating lightnings with this storm, but heaven forbid during a storm with lightning, if a hit takes place locally, is that protected enough so that you won't fry that poor little oscilloscope? And by the way, that sounds like a great project to bring forth to one of the club meetings. I think that would make a great presentation. And I think that pretty well covers everything that I was trying to remember to say. So I'll put it back to KA6BDG from KC1TWR.
You've done a better job at remembering what you want to say than I would have. So congrats, and thanks for the, I'm glad you're recording. Go ahead and we'll do that. Maybe I should think about that and have somebody else, you or somebody else do it when I'm not control. If I remember to arrange that, it'll be a little memory issue here. So, W1FJW, do you want to respond to Tim's questions that has back to net control? Why don't we do it that way? Go ahead, Chuck.
I used that tiny oscilloscope, using it for the line waveform, because I operate it from a pair of batteries, and I don't have to worry about common mode problems. I'm monitoring the line through a 120-volt to 10-volt transformer, so I'm using transformer isolation, because the oscilloscope will only accept 50 volts safely, and by running it through the transformer, it knocks it down to less than 20. So I can monitor safely, although when there's lightning around, I don't do it. Lightning always wins, so I don't give it a chance. Back to
that W1FJW. Sage advice. Probably should be put into the Bible or something. All right, good. Good info. And yes, I'm diverting from the normal flow of stations, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But just kind of, maybe it's easier to keep track of things that way. It is for me, anyway. Let me get Tim in here, 87AN, for any comments or thoughts or questions that might have come to mind, and then we'll have another call for check-ins, and we will continue having fun here talking about ham radio on the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is KA6PDG. Tim, it's over to you. Alpha Delta 7, Alpha November. Go ahead.
Good evening, this is AD7AN, and I'm wondering that, I don't think we're going to get any lightning. I don't see any out there, so that's good, but it's always good to be safe. I'm looking at the SOTA website right now, Summit on the Air, and it tells me that within 100 kilometers of me, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, sends 10 summits that I could activate, although I think I have more fun catching the ones that are already out there. So that's SOTA. It's pretty interesting. I like it because of the possibility of throwing my little, I have a KX3, Alcraft KX3. I can throw that in a backpack and a wire antenna and try to do it. home QTH here is a boat, which is the opposite of a summit. And but it's kind of fun to get on the land once in a while too. All right, back to net, AD7AN.
No. The opposite of a summit is a submarine, or a boat doing something we don't want it to do. very good comment. Tim, real quick, is there, since I haven't read up on summits on the air, there must be some minimum requirements. In other words, I couldn't just go up to Walwika's Hill in Norwich where there's a road going over the hill. And I don't know how high that hill is, probably only 100 or 200 feet, maybe more. There must be a minimum limit for summits, isn't there?
Well, it's actually, as I read the rules, that it's a very complex procedure for adding a summit to the summit list. So every summit has a code, and that summit is going to be in an association, and the association determines which summits are legal. You do have to be able to walk up without going over someone's property. That should be accessible to everybody. So that probably limits a lot of them. And generally speaking, they want them to be at least 300 meters in height, but I see that there's quite a few of them here that are just over 200. So the height is not that big of a deal. It's more the procedures of making sure everybody knows what summit you're on by what code, and then you put that on a website, and people can see when you're on the air, so they can listen for you. And there's some spotting as well. AD7AN, back to net.
Fascinating. I believe Spock would have said on the Starship Enterprise. Really cool. All right, this is the tips net. And let's see if we have any more check-ins, and then I'll go along and I'll pick up Dave and Steve, and we'll go from there. But any additional check-ins tonight for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club tips net, all amateurs are welcome. Your call signs, please. And if you have a question or topic, just let me know that you have one, and I'll get back to you. All right, over to Dave and Preston, K1DCT. I know you've been listening intently to all this. You're a good one when it comes to paying attention and taking notes and thinking of interesting questions and comments. So do your stuff there, Dave.
All right, Kevin, I think that was a little too much build up. I think you have me confused with someone else, but this is K1DCT. That part I'm not confused about. So let's see, I'll try and hit all the pertinent things that I've heard. Let's see, oh, when Tim asked about monitoring the AC line, one thing you have to be careful of is most scopes have a ground terminal that is grounded to the AC plus. So you have to be careful where you attach that, where you're monitoring, because if you put it on the neutral, you now create another ground path, which is never a good idea. So through a transformer is give you total isolation, which is something I quite like. A little isolation is good for you, which leads me to Tim. I also have Tim Sevenland. Tim, I also have a KX3, fabulous little rig. Use it on field day to go off and do my own thing on, I don't know if it's a summit or not, but it's somewhere. So, fun stuff. Kevin, you asked about farm monitoring. Back in my career, if you call it that, the downhill slide of an extremely mediocre career. At one point, we were out on dairy farms checking for stray voltage. farmers were claiming that cows were getting shocked, touching the metal stanchions and the gates and that kind of stuff, and that was leading to a reduction in the milk productivity. So there's a little farm monitoring for you. And let's see, oh, Steve mentioned something about the place where he works to have power issues. That goes along with that power quality stuff. I did that too. And, yeah, you know, a little blip can really throw all these machines, computer-controlled machines, into a tizzy. And, so you need to have a nice clean waveform. What else did I pick up on? Oh, Chuck and his the ninth harmonic, that would be known as the triplet, because you're dealing with a three-phase system, the third harmonic, and then the three times the third harmonic tend to come up as pretty good candidates. So that's about all I can remember at this point. Back to Matt, K1DCC.
Favorite sportscaster used to say, a spectacular performance. Thank you, Dave. Also occurs to me, someone mentioned lightning and thunderstorms tonight. Yeah, earlier I was surprised to hear the National Weather Service NOAA broadcast mention thunderstorms this evening, but I too am questioning. Maybe the atmosphere is a little bit more stable than they thought. Time will tell. NK1V in the tips net. You're up, Steve.
NK1V. Oh boy, there's a lot going on tonight. One, my ignorance to a statement that Chuck had talked about, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, most likely. He mentioned DC light, and I think he may be talking about DC lighting, like pulse width modulation issues. Maybe a clarification on that. Maybe there's something else I don't understand. A lot of things I don't understand, but maybe I'm missing that. I know that a lot of things, devices that are DC and pulse width modulated, cause all kinds of noises and stuff. Tim, 87. The photo thing. I'm not sure. I haven't done any. Like, I checked out the photo website. The SOTA one, the Summit one. I know that in Parks on the Air, there's they've already set a whole bunch of parks, lots of them, and I know they've grown so rapidly, they had some growing pains and had to shut down that process temporarily, and they're about to reopen it. I know that there's a little bit of a process to get one listed, and the same kind of thing though with the spotting, and you can spot on the webpage, you can also spot on the Facebook page, which is a big help, and once others can spot you also, it's very, and if you get on a DX spotting, and it's endless. But there's also a lot of, on a boat, I don't know how much you haul around and everything like that. There is a lot of parks on, because Parks on the Air is based on, state and national parks. There are a lot of places in Long Island Sound and down towards New Jersey and stuff that are pretty much only accessible by boat. Not to mention some lake stuff. There's some pretty cool activatable places that have not even been activated from small islands. Sorry about that. I actually timed out my radio, not necessarily the repeater. So, what else? That being said, I will pass it back to Night Control, NK1V.
Light is an old ham radio expression. top radio, an AM Mark 15 transmitter. He's got a rig that goes from 160 meters all the way up to 440 meg. He's got another UHF radio. He's got microwave. He's got everything in his ham shack. The old expression was, I can monitor everything DC to light, or this rig will transmit DC to light. So that was an old expression, and I'm not saying that the Chuck was old. Don't misunderstand. All right, so that's the topic portion of the tips. That's what it runs like sometimes, when I'm running it anyway. But let's go ahead into the announcement section, and after the announcements or during the announcement section, I will call for more check-ins. But let's jump right into that again. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. My call is KA6PDG. Any stations with announcements of general interest to the amateur community, upcoming events or otherwise, your call signs, please.
K1RMN.
KC1TWR.
K1RMN will be followed by KC1TWR. Will be followed by a couple of announcements that I have. So, Bob, RMN, go right ahead, please.
Thank you, Kevin. This is K1RMN. First announcement is breakfast this Saturday at 8 a.m. at the Uncasville Diner. All amateur radio operators are welcome. And the second announcement is 26 October, a week from this Saturday, is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club's auction. And that will be at the Gales Ferry Volunteer Fire Company, which is 1772 Route 12 in Gales Ferry, Connecticut. Doors open around 8, and the auction begins at 10, I believe. And should be a good time. Bring your stuff. Bring some money, fill your car when you go home. And that's all I have of those two announcements. So back to net. K1RMN.
All right, it's a lot of fun, and if you thought the casinos were good at taking your money, you got to come to the Tri-City auction. But you'll be glad you spent it. And Tri-City, I might as well mention the website, tricityarc.net. We'll mention that again at the end of this chat. Tim, KC1TWR, you had some items.
Thank you, Kevin. To add to the auction, not only can you bring your money and bring an empty car to fill, you can also bring stuff in your car and put it up there for auction. Remember that old project that you've had on the shelf for about 5, 6, 7 years, and maybe you finally decided you're not going to get to it? Or when you bought too many parts and you decided, okay, you finished with the parts you needed and now you've got a surplus and you want to make room for more parts of a different nature, this is the place to get rid of it. Help out fellow amateur, local amateur radio operators. We usually have about somewhere between 55 and 65 people who show up, and we usually have, I don't know, I think it's between 100 and 250 different items that get sold. So there's quite a bit of items that are there. And this is an annual auction, and it does draw people from all over Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and even a couple from up north. So it's always good to mingle around. Doors open for people to look at everything, starting at 8 o'clock. And we'll double-check the start of the auction, but I believe he's right. It is 10 o'clock. Okay, also, the same weekend, CT Aries will have their SET, their simulated emergency test, and if you're interested in participating at all, whether you're Skywarn or Aries, you can go to ctaries.org, and on the left-hand side where it says one of the menu selections is SET2019, click on that and you'll find details about it. So that's always good. And a reminder that Thursday night, which is tomorrow night, is the race-on meeting up at the Firehouse in Norwich. You can find directions at raceon.org. And with that, we'll go back to... and yes, do come to the breakfast on Saturday morning. We always have a fun there. Just remember to go down into the sunroom. That's where we collect. Okay, back to net control. This is KC1TWR.
Very good. Thursday morning breakfast at the Norwich, 7 a.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m., at the Uncasville Diner, Route 32, Uncasville. All right, a couple of quick ones from here. Coming up on November 2nd and 3rd, the North American Kilowatt Club will be activating a special event station to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the last Green Valley National Heritage Corridor. Look for Club Station, November Alpha 1 Kilo Whiskey on 20, 40, and 75 phone at various times of the day, and also on FT8. More information available from the club's website, which is na1kw.com. Let me reset. And the weekend after that, on Saturday the 9th of November, there will be a Connecticut Section Traffic Handlers Lunch. It's informal, it's casual, it's fun, it's not a meeting. If you're interested in ARRL, National Traffic System, message handling, or any kind of message handling, or you're just interested in amateur radio and having lunch with a bunch of other hams, it's going to be on Saturday the 9th of November at the Bell City Diner. The Bell City Diner is located at 782 Pine Street in Bristol, Connecticut. That's at 12 noon, November 9th. The section traffic manager would like to know what the head count's going to be by November 6th. So if you're planning on going, please contact Kilo 1 Sierra Tango Mike, K1STM. Her name is Ann West. Or you can speak to your local traffic net manager in your area, and they can get you signed up. Any other announcements this evening before we move on? All right, I'm quickly going to see if we have any more check-ins for the net, and then we're going to go into the swap section. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Your net control is KA6PDG, such as it is. And anybody else who'd like to check in, whether or not you have anything to say, we'd love to have you come in and say hi. Your call sign, please.
This is Whiskey 1, Julie Oscar Papa. No questions, no comments. Just want to say good evening to all. I'll be listening. W1JP.
Any other check-ins? I thank you. And John, that's fine. We're always happy when people just want to get on the log. It's nice. All right, let's go into the swap section. If you have amateur radio equipment, parts, transceivers, antennas, whatever, any ham radio items you want to buy, sell, trade, swap, giveaway, or want, you are at liberty to mention prices, but do not haggle about prices on the air. Save that for other medium. Anybody who would like to make a listing on the swap section of the TipsNet tonight, your call sign, please. Before we close the TipsNet this evening. hopefully for me, and I hope it has for you. It's been a fun night. Thanks, everybody, for being here, checking in, participating. Be sure and tell other people about the tips net. We'd love to see it grow a little. We're happy to have our regulars in here, but if we can turn on a few new folks to the net, so announce it on your local nets and at your club meetings and newsletters and stuff. Mention it on your Facebook page, whatever. And remember, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club website is tricityarc.net, and you'll find information about the club. You'll find information about club meetings, information about the upcoming auction, October 26th, all sorts of information. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club has been around for a long time. They're a great club. And so be sure and check out the website. Also remind folks, we do record these nets. So maybe you miss a net, or you want to hear some information that was passed on the net that you may have missed or didn't get a chance to jot down. If you go to am1700.org, that's am1700.org/tipsnet, and it's all right there. You'll see 2018 nets, you'll see 2019 nets. Just click on those, you get a list of each net. You can download it or listen to it. And in a few months, you'll see 2020 nets, but let's not rush things. I want to thank the W1DX repeater system, the folks who maintain it, and especially John, W1AN, for the use of these fine repeater facilities tonight. And again, to all of you for participating in the TipsNet, that's what makes it possible. If you have questions, comments, something you'd like to see the TipsNet do that it's not currently doing, that's why we have a net manager. His call is KC1TWR. He was on the net tonight. He's usually on the net when he can be. Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo is the net manager. I believe I've gotten all the housekeeping in, so we'll go ahead and close and return the repeater to normal amateur use. Saying 73 to all, and be sure and tune in next week and see who's running the net next week.